Moin Zen everyone and welcome to another new episode of the Teja Podcast. My 2025 review and 2026 preview. Time for some new goals and a toast to the year that's over now, 2025. The most important bits right up front. It's been a great year. My family and I are doing well, we had no major health crises, and our four daughters are growing like, I don't know, bamboo. My oldest has just turned 14 and is as tall as her mom, it's hard to believe. And with my youngest in second grade already, the times with really small children at home are clearly over. Wow. My wife and I have turned 39 and 41 respectively, so we are racing towards mid-age, if we're not there already. I don't know how those terms are defined. I do feel like I'm at the top of what I'm physically capable of, though. No decline to notice at all. The contrary. Sure, days are long and tough with all the kid and household logistics, but sports keep getting me through it. Sophie has her fulfilling job as a GP, and although she's often tired in the evenings, we laugh a lot and enjoy life. Her decision to remove a few weekly working hours starting early 2025 was a great blessing to all of us, as we can now share the workload at home in a better way. To me, it seems like we are balanced out and could go on like this for a while. That's not been the case in many of the past years, where at least one of us was overworked at all times. I'm really happy about this trajectory. A recent addition that also enhanced our day-to-day enjoyment has been the exceptionally fluffy dog Miss Marple, nicknamed Moppel, Doris, and also for some reason sometimes Knotch. We got her from a dog breeder who was done using her as a breeding dog after one go and wanted to get rid of her. She was just 1.5 years old when we got her in August, and she is super cute and very easy to live with. All my five ladies love her a lot and can't stop cuddling and feeding her snacks. And I have to admit I like her too. Short follow-up on my project system elephant. It has been 2 full years now since selling my 2 remaining companies and becoming a full-time dad. Long term, I really want to find some meaningful work, as I've explained in the blog post on the topic, but there's no pressure for the foreseeable future because we kept our lifestyle cost under our theoretical limits and the index funds have still gained quite a bit of value over the past year. So I keep focusing on being a good dad and using the remaining couple hours of the day for sports for now. That's making me very happy and also tranquil to the degree the kids can throw just about anything at me and I'm able to take it, metaphorically speaking, mostly. And if you remember the other project I talked about in the past, Moon Marathon, I have bad news. Nothing happened in that regard. People in power of sending folks to the moon have shifted their priorities significantly, to the detriment of many. As in previous years, I have read lots of books, and 2 particular ones have made me change my thinking recently. Both deal with humankind's impending doom, but are coming from 2 different directions, nuclear war and artificial intelligence. And those books are not the only ones. Many smart people are giving us all a single-digit percentage chance to survive the next couple hundred years. It's no secret that we are behaving completely unsustainably, and from the looks of it, we are not about to change that anytime soon. It feels a bit like someone with a terminal illness might start to change their outlook, just on a societal level. I have made my peace with it. Using the old saying, "Control what you can control," I have started asking myself other questions lately. 2 books found me at exactly the right moment, but I am currently still invested in figuring this out. It's too early to say anything about how they will affect my actions going forward, but I'm certain they will. The books are How to Be Perfect by Michael Schur, funny title meant jokingly, and Moral Ambition by Rutger Brechmann. Moral Ambition is also the name of an NGO I've recently joined, co-founded by Brechmann. On the local level, Tarek Müller's NGO called 105 Viertel is aimed at making Hamburg the most livable city in the world by starting on the micro level. I've also joined that one, not really knowing what exactly I will do there yet. While looking outwards is important for the social fabric of our current times to grow stronger again, it's most effective when coming from a positive angle, a position of ambitious confidence based in contentment and self-sufficiency. Which led me to this question. What does it mean to lead a full life? The simple answer is to do a lot of the things you enjoy. That's not true for anyone, though. If you enjoy being a Nazi, please stop it and find something else to enjoy. I feel like I've already made a variation of that joke in a former blog post, but the point still stands, now more than ever. But if what you enjoy is something that's not hurting anyone, including yourself, maximize it. In my mind, I keep coming back to a trigger moment in my life, January 2010, Cape Town, 16 years back. I was meeting a person named Dieter Mielke, who is the great uncle of my wife, then girlfriend, Sophie. He was around 80 years old at the time and now he's well into his 90s. During that evening we first met, he was talking non-stop about his many accomplishments in life, leaving no room at all for me to share some. Not that I had any accomplishments to contribute, or that he would have listened for that matter, I just noticed that he has led a very full life. Much more full than any other person his age I had so far been in contact with. And a part of me wanted to start finally living a really full life as well at that moment. Not in order to hold hour-long monologues, that's what blogs are for, but because doing all the things possible to do as a human is clearly superior to just doing nothing for decades. I had done enough of that already at that point. Dieter had met his Dutch wife Mieke during his years being a cloth salesman in Persia, now Iran, migrated to South Africa and built fabric factories, employed many people, traveled the world, took up sailing and won races, built a shopping mall in Cape Town, learned to fly planes well into his 70s, regularly raced the annual 110-kilometer Argus bike race way into his 80s, and told me all that just before throwing a shotgun into my hand after dinner and a bottle of wine, saying he and I needed to go take down the guys who last week stole some of his 3,000 sheep, right now. So we jumped into his 4x4 and frantically drove around his farm that extended all the way to the horizon on all sides, located right in the middle of the Karoo Desert in the middle of the night. Fortunately, we only found a wild pig and I was able to pretend not to have been fast enough to shoot it before it escaped. I know he sometimes reads this blog. Sorry, Dieter. If your offer still stands to crew me at the Comrades Ultramarathon, it's on the list. Although what he achieved in his life and what I would like to achieve in my life only have a very small overlap, I have lots of respect for it. The point is, only if you do things, you'll have something to remember and also to talk about at the end. Staying home doing nothing amounts to nothing. Do more. Do all the things while you can. For plain recreational reasons, I sometimes play video games such as the Grand Theft Auto series or, more recently, the two Red Dead Redemption ones. Those all feature a single-player story mode that leads you through a bunch of missions until you reach the end of the story arc. During the time, countless side missions are presented, but remain optional and are not necessary to beat the games. When finishing the main storyline, you see a percentage amount of how much of all the missions you've done in total, and by doing just the main quests, you might end up at around 60 to 70%. I'm the kind of guy who at that stage tries to figure out how to get the remaining percentage points to go to a full 100. chips away at it, and feels some satisfaction when that moment is reached. This year I realized this inclination of mine could be taken into real life. So I made the mental note to start to consciously aim for 100% completion of life whenever presented with an opportunity to choose, especially if it's just a fun little side quest. As so often with these things, they sound ridiculous at first, but help me and fill me with joy and add a certain playfulness into my otherwise quite earnest and disciplined life raising 4 kids. My definition of a full life, a life that's lived well, is therefore one that contains lots of stories to tell, one that is lived chasing 100% completion. Obviously, it's better to realize this rather early in life, and I'm happy to have done so now. It has already shaped a few new plans of mine. 2 main new long-term goals have crept on my list that way this year. Both were out of scope in the past. I just never thought I'd have it in me to complete them. But now I have gained the confidence I might in fact be able to chase them. The 100% completion idea put it over the top. New major goal number 1, the Ironman Hawaii. It's the magical place where triathlon started. I have loved triathlon for a long time now, watched the pros race nearly every year, but for humility reasons I've always put the Hawaii goal away. Qualifying for it is super tough. You've got to be among the best handful of athletes of your age group at an Ironman brand long distance race to make it. It requires lots of effort to get there. But when I looked at my much improved marathon times over the past years, the plan suddenly unlocked in my head. It could be possible. And it would be just so cool to one day run down Ali'i Drive after having swum in the Pacific, biked to Hawi and back, and run through the desolate Energy Lab streets. That vision alone fills me with so much motivation, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. And that's a clear reason to follow up on the goal. As with some other major long-term goals of mine, I have put together a page on my website detailing the plan and showing my current status. It's at teje.com/Hawaii. Of course, the link is in the description of this episode as well. New major goal number 2, the big Ultra Trail du Mont Blanc. The world of ultra running has its own Hawaii, and that's the UTMB in Chamonix, France. Sure, the Western States 100 is also often counted as being up there, but both races have quite a different approach. There is a lot speaking against the big loop around the French massif, though. One example is how corporate it has all become. Entrance fees have exploded, the environmental cost isn't nothing, and the qualification process is designed in such a way as to maximize pulling money out of people. Big similarities between UTMB and Ironman, and it's no coincidence the companies have had a merger a few years back. But on the other hand, it's breathtakingly beautiful and celebrates the sport of ultra running like nothing else in the world. The event has such a huge global standing, everyone's there. It feels like the epicenter of it all, and it probably is. I've got my own taste of it by doing the Little Sister race, CCC, this year, and after those 105 kilometers or 65 miles, I said to Sophie, never ever am I ever going to go for the full UTMB loop. Because I was just so wrecked after the grueling effort it took to make it to the finish line. But that's the funny thing about ultras. The feeling right after a long and hard race is diametrically opposed to the feeling about it just a few hours later. And soon enough, I thought I might have it in me to one day complete that 175 kilometer, 110 mile, 10,000 meter or 33,000 feet of climbing literal mountain of a race. In 2026, I will make my first efforts to move towards those two starting lines in Kona and Chamonix, but both projects will take me many years to get done. I am looking forward to the process. As in the past years, I have set three central goals for the immediate future, the year of 2026. There are lots of similarities to the ones in 2025, so here's my review preview mix of them. The big three. Number one, completing Challenge Rot Triathlon in under 10 hours. In summer of 2024, when I accompanied and supported my friend Matthias to his first long-distance triathlon finish ever, which we had decided should happen at Challenge Rot, my own triathlon fire was sparked as well. The place is just so amazing, it's hard not to catch the bug. And since my previous Rot finish has been so long ago, in 2017, and my most recent long-distance triathlon finish as well, in 2019, enough brain space was there to cause me to take on the task once more. And now I'm really into it. Challenge Rot won't bring me closer to that Hawaii goal in a direct way because it's not of the Ironman brand, but it will be a great day and a chance to get my training up there in order to move towards the athletic abilities required for that eventual Hawaii qualifier race. I'm looking forward to the drive down to Rot in southern Germany with Matthias and racing the course to the best of my abilities. My rough target is a 1 hour and 10 swim, a 5 hour and 30 minute bike, and a 3 hour and 10 run. Adding the two transitions, sub 10 hours could be possible. Number 2. Finishing a Western States qualifier race. The North Downs Way in England. Ticking off the Western States qualifier has been an annual tradition for a while now. In 2025, I went the unnecessary extra mile and completed two. Tuscany Crossing 103K and the mentioned CCC during the UTMB Race Festival. Both were amazing in their own regards. In Tuscany, I enjoyed the beautiful scenery, the food, the DIY-style race organization that was handled with lots of love, and the relaxed weekend itself. My performance there was also really good by my standards, with just 13 hours and 22 minutes for the 103 kilometers, 64 miles, including 3,800 meters or 12,500 feet of vertical gain, I landed at 40th male of a couple hundred starters. 4 months later, racing the CCC in Italy, Switzerland, and France was a whole different story. Although the distance was about the same, the elevation gain was significantly higher, with about 6,000 meters or 20,000 feet. The first half of the race was incredibly beautiful as well, but the second half, which happened during the night for me, was rainy, muddy, and on quite technical terrain. It has been great to have Sophie with me, and she got really into the ultra-crewing mindset. It gave me a bunch more energy and led to us having a wonderful weekend in the end. For 2026, I have planned not two, but just one long race to put my name into the Western States lottery hat. It has been quite a strain to do two. On the other hand, that experience led me to finally gather the confidence needed to try my best at my first ever 100-mile race. I've never so far did that distance. My longest race ever was the 122-kilometer Lavaredo Ultra Trail, so going for 160 kilometers would add around another marathon to the total. But I feel like I'm ready. So I signed up for the North Downs Way, early August, which is supposed to be more comparable to Tuscany than to the Alps from an elevation standpoint. That plays to my strengths. Looking forward to doing my first ultra in the UK. Oh yeah, and it's almost a side note at this point, But of course, I failed at the Western States Lottery for 2026 again, as roughly 98% of all entrants did. With my 8 accumulated tickets, I had a chance of 2.4% of getting in. California will have to wait. Number 3. A new marathon personal best of around 2 hours and 48 minutes. Although I did manage to check off my marathon specific goal of 2025 by running a new personal best of 2 hours 55 minutes and 47 seconds, and Boston qualified with that result, 3 hours 0 minutes and 26 seconds was the 2026 cutoff for my age group of the male 40 to 44 year olds, I fell short of making it to my dream of running a 4 minute per kilometer pace marathon. I had a really good training block created by coach Martin Grüning for me, but unfortunately caught the cold just 2 weeks before my race and couldn't recover back to a full 100% in time. The level I was at would have definitely made it possible to run a 2 hour and 48 minute marathon, so I want to put that to the test in 2026. I am better with races early in the year because all the fun triathlons and ultras during the summer make it hard for me to focus solely on marathon training. My plan is to race fast at Barcelona Marathon on March 15th, and my training for it has already started. The race felt perfect for me in 2025, so I'm repeating the attempt there. Really looking forward to it. When will I count this as a success? I've decided to go with an official finishing time of 2 hours, 48 minutes and 46 seconds as the mark I'll chase. That's the result I would get if I ran for 42.195 kilometers at a straight 4 minute per kilometer pace. My own GPS tracking won't be an accurate enough indication. Usually because it's impossible to run the perfect line, the watch will add a few hundred meters. Although I'd love to have that Strava activity actually say 4 minutes per kilometer average pace, and not 4.02 just because the measured distance was 42.5 kilometers. Of course, it doesn't really matter, but I am a numbers guy and enjoy this type of thing. Regarding Boston, although I qualified for 2026, I won't go back because daughter number 3 has her birthday on Patriots Day weekend, which will be the same for 2027, and also because I have a different huge trip planned in spring. Details down below. I'd love to run Boston again though. 2028, 29 and 30 all would work fine in my calendar. Reasons to keep up the pace. And now the fun goals. Number 1. Running 12 marathons and reading 12 books. In my list of priorities, the 12 and 12 has been moved down from a big 3 goal to one of the fun ones, mainly because it happens naturally these days and I don't need to put much effort in anymore. I used to play around with the numbers here, but 12 and 12 worked great for me in 2025, so I'm keeping it. I landed on 14 marathons and 17 books in 2025 without even trying. That's how ingrained the idea is in me. I still feel no need to increase the goal numbers, and setting it at 12 feels really natural because of the numbers of months in a year. By the way, in 2025, I incidentally crossed over into the 100 lifetime marathon races done. It did not mean much to me. I spent the 100th race as the backup pacer for the 3 hour 30 minutes at Flensburg Marathon, which was a beautiful race to do so, but not a big planned celebration of that anniversary for me. I'm now eligible to join the National 100 Marathon Club, but I haven't done so yet. But just for the heck of it, I built a little website to show my full marathon races list with some stats and personal notes on each race at tige.com/marathonracesList. From April 2010 to September 2025, it took just over 15 years for me to complete 100 marathon races. The big three goals of 2025 all went great and added enjoyment to my life. That's the main reason to keep going with it. And some more fun side quests round off the year. Number 2. Completing the original 6 World Marathon Majors in Tokyo. Finally got drawn at the lottery. This took a bunch of years of trying. I don't remember how many exactly, but I think around 5. Lots of people want to race Tokyo, and one of the main reasons for it is that it's the 6th marathon major. For me, it'll be the last one for now, because I've done the marathons in Berlin, London, Boston, New York City, and Chicago already. I'm really looking forward to that trip to Japan. Super curious about how a marathon race in that specific country will go. Will the crowds be stereotypically quiet and respectful, bowing down instead of screaming words of encouragement? I'll find out on March 1st. Since the race is just 2 weeks before my go at the new personal best in Barcelona, I'll take it super easy and just aim to soak in the atmosphere, sort of like a victory lap for completing the 6 majors. Getting that special 6-fold medal hung around my neck at the finish will be a highlight. Number 3. Completing my 16 German Federal States marathons list. As with the World Marathon Majors, I'm currently just one short, but will complete the set in 2026. As of right now, I'm standing at 15, just missing the state of Brandenburg. That one has been on my list for a while because there's just one noteworthy marathon race in the state that I'm aware of, the Spreewald Marathon. And it usually collides with my hometown marathon in Hamburg every year. Not so in 2026. They are 1 week apart, finally. So I got the ticket and look forward to eating lots of pickles while there, which is a regional specialty. Number 4. Bucket list goal. Beating my buddy Krischi's Otterndorf triathlon time. It's been a long time coming. Krischi is the one who got me into running and triathlons in the first place. This is about 15 years in the past now, and since then I have beaten every single one of his personal bests, basically just to rub it in his face, I'm the faster one now. He won't take it as an offense though, ever the tranquil guy, he's just happy for me. But I won't let that distract me. The one result that remains where he's still faster than me is the lovely little sprint distance triathlon race at Otterndorf. He managed a 1 hour 8 minute 18 seconds result back in 2009, and although I did the race a few times, I never had the fitness level to get close to that, until a few years back. Timing conflicts did the rest, but in 2026 it's going to happen. I have signed up and will aim to destroy the 108 on August 30th. Full steam ahead. Take that, Krischi! Number 5. Birthday marathons. This is another fun one. I will turn 42 years old on July 28th of 2026. That number has a lot of significance to me because of the marathon distance. So, of course, I will celebrate by running a marathon on my birthday, hopefully together with a few friends like in 2024. It's during our Hamburg summer holidays, so unfortunately lots of friends will be on vacation, and the remaining ones might have work on that normal Tuesday. Anyways, I'll run. It's a milestone for me. But what about the exact marathon distance in kilometers? 42.195. My real marathon birthday. It will happen on October 7th, 2026. Unfortunately, that's a Wednesday, no school holidays. I plan on running a marathon on that day anyways too. Maybe a couple of friends will join in, or maybe it'll be a spiritual thing just with myself. I'll take it all, gladly. Running is the best. And now some even less important goals. In no particular order, here it goes. Keep my running streak going all through 2026. Still massively fun to me. On December 31st of 2025, I completed 4 full years. So the 2026 specific goal is to reach 5 years. But I'm not planning on stopping then, having now just earned my new awesome nickname, Täglich Tim. Complete all the Zwift virtual cycling route badges. This isn't as easy, but I've already made good progress in 2025 and stand at 197 of the current 224 badges, including the longest route in existence, the 174-kilometer PRL Full, which I did a few weeks back. But setting this goal will make it easier for me to get in the long training rides I need to succeed at Challenge Rot. My blog post about how I finally cracked the sub-3-hour marathon back in 2024 is still the most popular one by far on my website. I noticed that many visitors come from search engines and are looking for a short and easy to follow training plan. So my idea is to summarize the gist of what I did to succeed at the race into a concise training plan for people to download. I usually don't do official races at distances shorter than a half marathon, but I still like to improve my personal bests on the 5K and 10K as part of my training, just using my own GPS tracking and no official measuring. For 2026, I will see if the stars align, so I could give the following new benchmarks a go. 5 kilometers in under 18 minutes. That's 3 minutes and 36 seconds per kilometer pace, or a 5 minute and 48 second per mile pace. 10 kilometers in under 37 minutes and 30 seconds. That's a 3 minute and 45 second pace per kilometer and a 6 minute and 2 second pace per mile. And the half marathon distance of 21.1 kilometers in under 1 hour and 20 minutes, which would be a 3 minute and 48 second per kilometer pace, and that corresponds to 6 minutes and 7 seconds per mile. I think I stand a solid chance at the 5K and 10K, but for the half marathon, I'd have to do some specific training. On that distance, my current best is a 3 minute and 52 kilometer average from January 2025, and although those 4 seconds per kilometer don't seem like much, it adds up and is still a significant jump. And that's the full list of all my plans for 2026. I'll continue with some of the 2025 achievements I'm proud of, or which I just enjoyed. Marathon guidebook finally done. Early on into my marathon running, I had the idea to write a book about marathon running for beginners that would focus not on all the data and strict training planning, but put a lot more emphasis on the fun aspect and show an easygoing way to get there while still providing readers with the necessary information. The first sentences were written in January of 2016. Many times I wasn't sure about the project anymore and put it on ice, only to take it up again and rewrite long sections. In early 2025, I made a focused effort during a week-long workcation I took in London to finish it and got to about 95%. The proofreading, corrections, and finishing touches happened during the late fall of this year, and in a frantic effort over the past December weeks, I pushed through to finish the whole product with a bunch of ebook formats and recorded audiobook, including the little shop website to sell it to those interested. I'm very happy about how it turned out, and I think it will provide lots of value for people new to the hobby of running who are interested in chasing that first ever marathon finish. It's called The Beginner's Guide to Running Your First Marathon, Subtitle: A simple how-to for casual runners and non-runners ready to level up. And you can get it on my website. The link is in the description of this episode, of course. Every single street, Hamburg progress. This is a fun project. I'm really enjoying being a numbers guy. The idea is to run through all the streets on Hamburg turf, as the name suggests. On December 31st, 2025, there are 8,084 runnable and named streets in the city, totaling 4,274 kilometers, and that's about 2,655 miles. This is at least a multi-year project, probably even a multi-decade one. After plucking all the low-hanging fruits in 2024 since getting my first ever navigation-enabled wristwatch, I moved on to run through lots of streets which are a bit further away from my home in 2025. Some I reached via a bike ride, most via the Hamburg train system, and a handful of street collecting runs required a car trip. The further away from home I get, the more of a time investment this has become, of course. In the back of my head, I thought making it into the top 10 street collecting runners in Hamburg would be cool, and I made it to the number 10 spot for a short time until the others overtook again. Right now, I'm in 12th place in Hamburg on the platform I chose, which is citystrides.com. I stand at 3,204 streets completed, which amounts to 39.63% of the whole of Hamburg. Towards the end of 2025, I realized that getting the borough of Eimsbüttel to 100% would be possible, and managed to do that by doing a few frantic last-minute trips to the neighborhood of Niendorf inside of it. A pretty little place. Well, not so little, in fact. With two out of Hamburg's seven boroughs now done, I'm not sure where to go next. In 2026, I'll probably not make that much progress, but still aim to go on a few collecting sprees from time to time, if the time allows for it. The DIY races: Munich Breweries Ultra and Bremen St. Pauli 100. I put out a two-parter blog post about those two races we put together. Part 1 about MBU and part 2 about BSP 100. Both were big highlights for me this year. Looking forward to the next Munich Breweries Ultra happening on May 31st in 2026 on Munich's central Marienplatz at 5:30 a.m. Sign up and be there. Link in the description. The Bremen St. Pauli 100 won't take place in 2026 because it requires too much work for us to do it annually. We have decided to make it an event that happens every other year, so 2027 will be the next time. But for that, I'm also looking forward to already. Speaking of DIY things, tiny house teardown and terrace construction. Back in 2018, I constructed a little house inside my backyard and put two blog posts about it online. The first one detailed the initial construction, while in the second one I talked about how I improved the water resistance of it. Well, not so well, it turned out. Over the past couple years, some leakage led to lots of mold until the point was reached where it was beyond repair, so I decided to take the house down. It took quite a lot of effort to do so, because I didn't just come in with a wrecking ball like Miley Cyrus, but carefully took all the pieces apart and sorted the materials for reuse. Most of it I was able to sell to people who could still use it to build new structures with it, but some had to be discarded at the city's dump. It was so cool while it lasted, but now it's in the past and I've decided to put the concrete foundations I made to good use by building a new deck on top of them. Maybe a pre-made sauna hut will go on it soon, I don't know yet. It was fun working with wood once more, though. And now it's a clean deck ready for anything. My current home screen. Looking at old screenshots made me a bit nostalgic lately, so I decided to put the current version into this blog post, so my 2036 self will find it funny. Of course, in this podcast episode, that doesn't make much sense, but if you're still interested, you can click the links in the description. The selfie video. Using the Close-Up app, I have again taken daily selfies to document my visual decline as I age during this year. Again, you can look at this in the blog post. Soon I'll be able to make my first 5-year time lapse. That'll show more progress, I hope. Getting older is fun. Can't wait for white hair. Or no hair at all? Ah, who knows? The one-on-one weekend trips. With my 4 daughters, it's often rare I get to spend time with just one of them, catering to her individual needs only and increasing the level of bond between her and me. That's why I have made it a tradition to go on weekend city trips and take just one daughter. This year I did 2 such trips, bringing the total so far to 11. Daughter number 1 and I went to Athens, Greece, and spent time exploring the ancient buildings, walked in Socrates' footsteps, dashed a lap at the Panathenaic Stadium, hit a bunch of museums, and enjoyed lots of good food in the hot 30 degrees sun. Daughter number 3 and I went to Paris, France, had a great day at Disneyland Paris, and climbed up the stairs of Eiffel Tower before walking across the rainy city for the remainder of the time. But our highlight was a little hotel room picnic we did on the last evening. Sitting across each other on the floor with baguette and cheeses, we just talked for hours. In 2026, I plan on doing at least 2 more such trips, including the first one with my youngest, because she's old enough now too. The threshold I set is that the daughter has to be aware of the cities in Europe and select one for a trip based on some good arguments for it. It's been quite a year. Closing it off with some more photo highlights. This also makes much more sense to view in the blog post as opposed to this podcast episode, but still, I'm just gonna read you all the photo descriptions that I've written down. January. Lots of buddy runs to our favorite cafe in Blankenese. Hopefully many more to come. February. Another little feature of me in Germany's Runner's World magazine. This time I was testing my maximum heart rate to tell readers what that's like. Bienwald Marathon in March. Guy and I tried for 250 hours at the race and he succeeded. April. Hamburg Marathon time. Just 2 weeks after the 100k race in Tuscany, I ended up with a 3:09 result here, while Philip, in the middle of the picture, set a new PR at 3:02, and Matthias, on the left of the picture, even broke the 3-hour barrier for the first time. Notice also our accidental bib numbers. That's a big teaser here for the blog post. July. Classic Hamburg triathlon tradition. Sophie and I did the short race together, as we always do, and the day after, I set a big new PR of 2 hours and 20 minutes for the Olympic, or as it's now called, the standard distance, including a low 38 minutes for the final 10k run. My favorite picture of the year happened during an August vacation in Denmark, with all our 4 girls standing in the North Sea during sunset. September. I got invited to an influencer event in Berlin and was asked to plan and lead a short shakeout run for everyone, not knowing the group would also include Richard Ringer. He is among the top 3 German marathon runners currently. Super cool to do this and get to know him a little. A surprise Berlin marathon ticket is also not going to get turned away by me. But the day turned out to be a tough one with very high temperatures and a lack of electrolytes at the aid stations. In October, I was once again asked to do some pacemaking at Bremen Marathon, this time together with Bulti. We led the 3 hours and 45 minutes crew and had a good time. My friends at Runner's World asked me to do some more pacing at their winter community run series, which I obviously jumped to do, not only because this way I got to meet another example of German marathon royalty, current national record holder Amanal Petrus, who was also super nice to talk to while running around our Alster in Hamburg. For Christmas and New Year's, the family and I decided to flee to southern Spain and get a few rays of sunlight before the second half of winter, ending 2025 on a high note with all the most important ladies in my life. Thank you for listening, and now onwards to 2026. I hope you all had a great year and have good plans lined up for this coming year of 2026 and maybe even beyond that. Again, thanks for listening. Have a great day. All the best to you, and bye-bye.